All you have to do to get me fired up is sing that song, because that's the song that we sang at my wedding, the congregational song.
Oh, nice.
So that has some powerful memories. And I chose that song, Our God, He is Alive, because I know if there wasn't a God, there wouldn't be a woman that would put up with me. So amen for God and amen for Teresa. Amen. So take a look at your bulletin, if you will. It's a great bulletin today, and great to see, of course, the report from the roller coaster road trip on the front there. Now, look at the picture on the front. That's last year's road trip. And then open up on the top left, that was this year's. So you see, there's so many more people. And awesome to ride roller coasters, but even more awesome to see young people, campus and teens, who love the Lord with all their heart. That's when you really get on a roller coaster ride.
Amen.
Amen. When you love God with all your heart and you start to walk in His ways. Isn't that right, church?
Amen.
In Revelation chapter 7.
Oh, come on, bro.
We got to get a vision as we start today's service.
Come on. All right, bro. Come on.
Verse 9. After this, I looked, and before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, not a soft, I just woke up voice.
Oh, come on, bro.
But they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Wow.
Now imagine, you know, we sing these church songs, and sometimes, just sometimes, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves just kind of, we're singing through the words that we've sung before. But our minds are in a different place.
Yeah.
Right.
That's going to be impossible when we're singing to our God. Yep. And He's right in front of us.
Wow.
When we're singing to the Lamb and He's standing right in front of us. There will be no drifting.
Hmm.
When you're standing in front of God.
Wow.
And there'll be a loud voice. There'll be no half-hearted voices, because the half-hearted voices won't make it to the multitude.
Right. Wow.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Verse 11, all the angels were standing around the throne, imagine it, and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, and of course, this is John talking. John is the apostle who had the revelation and saw all these things. And imagine you're John, and you're up in this vision, and you're seeing this great multitude in white robes standing before God, and you're seeing the elders there, and one of them turns to you and says, these in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. Now, come on, you got to get that picture. You're standing there, you're in awe, and he asks you who they are, and you're like, you're kind of frozen. You're like, you know, right? You don't even know what to say. Are we even going to be able to enunciate words properly?
Come on, bro.
When we stand at the throne of God. Look at this. He said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Guys, that's Christians. That's those who took those filthy white robes we're wearing. And there's not one of us that can claim our robes not filthy.
The
Bible teaches even our righteous acts are filthy rags before our perfect and pure God. But there's a way to get them white again. You know, there's a commercial where a drill sergeant's like laying into his men, and he's getting on one of his men for having a spot, and then he turns his back, and the dude pulls out this powerful spot remover, and he does it, and the guy's back, "Soldier, how could you?" He's like, "What spot, sir? Where'd it go?" Let me tell you, the blood of the Lamb is the spot remover of spot remover.
Oh, come on, bro.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, come on.
And it has made our robes white. And they're standing before the Lamb. Therefore, they're before the throne of God. And they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Think of all those starving to death on earth today. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. Here's why, verse 17. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd.
Amen.
He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Take that in for me. You can't be right with God and take that in and not have a sense of relief come about you. And you can't be wrong with God and feel good and not like you've got some changing to do. Guys, this is incredible. This point in time, well, there'll be no tears, no scorching heat, no hunger, and no thirst. Why? Because it says here, our shepherd will lead us to springs of living water. The title of the lesson today is back to our series from Psalm 23. He leads me beside quiet waters.
Amen.
The image we're given here by David is that of a shepherd leading his sheep to the water. Now, listen, water is awesome.
Yeah.
I may even need some before I finish this sermon. You know what I mean? Why? No, it's not a prop thing. It's okay. Water is awesome. It's so refreshing. But even more than that, it's vital to survive.
Yeah.
We cannot live without water. You want to hear some interesting things about water?
Come on.
Roughly 70% of an adult's body is made up of water. 70% of our body. 80% for a little maybe up front. 80% of the body. Now, somewhere between 70 and 75% of the earth's surface is covered by water. The average person in the United States uses anywhere from 80 to 100 gallons of water per day. That's you. The average person. You. Do you realize you use 80 to 100 gallons of water a day? You think that's impossible? Well, guess what the number one use is? Flushing the toilet, baby. That's right. Flushing the toilet actually takes up the largest amount of water. And I'm getting water from every side. Thank you, guys. I'm going to use a gallon right now. Awesome. Guys, were you ever really, really thirsty?
Yeah.
And you're just trying to find some water. You're hot, you're thirsty, where's some water? And finally you see a fountain. And you're like, oh baby, relief is in sight, right? And you run up to the fountain, and it works. And you go to drink it, and it's this lukewarm, metallic, twangy, weird water. Nasty water. Have you ever done that? Right? What did you do? You spit it out. You know you're like, and if you're really dying, you're like, but I'm not going to drink anymore. Right? All right, listen. Sheep can do the same thing. A shepherd can be leading the whole flock to find water so they can live. And many times it's in the mountains and they're being led to a fresh, clean, pure pool of water. Maybe it's even fed by the snow coming down the mountain. But along the way, the sheep will stop and drink from these puddles on the path. that are bacteria-filled. Sheep in front of them have walked through and muddied and even filled with urine. Yeah, it's pretty gross, huh? But the sheep won't spit it out because they think, hey, I'm thirsty and this is all I got, and they'll drink it. That's why David says here, he leads them beside the quiet waters. The shepherd has to lead the sheep. He has to say, get out of that gross stuff and get out the staff, right? Which Roger's already, no, he wants to, Roger wants to preach the Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death sermon when we get to that. I'm looking forward to the rod and staff, they comfort me. Right? And this one is like, get the sheep, you know, get away from that gross, contaminated water. I'm taking you where there's better water. Look in Jeremiah chapter 2. Now, some of you have already verbally pronounced judgment on these poor, stubborn sheep. But let me tell you what. You do the same thing. God is trying to lead us to that vision we just read about. If God were able to lead the people on earth, how different would it be? But so many of us refuse to let God lead us.
Come on.
Read the Bible. If we treated each other the way the Bible teaches, how different would our world be? If we didn't lie to each other, how much more trust would there be in our world?
Wow.
If we obeyed the Scriptures on that one simple thing. But have you lied? And why do you lie? Why do you take a detour and muddy up the water with lies? That's what we do. And there's plenty of other stuff we do. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 13. My people have committed two sins. Number one, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water. What's God saying to His people even here in the Old Testament? He said, I'm the living water. Come to me, and I'll give you life. And again, if you're with us today, and you've never studied the Scriptures, then we want to get you into the Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe you've gone to church your whole life, and you know the Scriptures, but yet you're not living them out.
Come on.
What is that? Well, that's you, drinking from those muddy pools of water. So the question comes, why do we do it? If we really believe that God has this incredible life plan in heaven, and if we really believe, if we obeyed His Scriptures here on earth, how different the world would be.
Yeah.
Why do we stop and drink from those muddy puddles, nasty puddles? Is there anyone here that hasn't stopped and took a drink from those nasty puddles? I don't think so. He said, there's a lie we believe when we do it. We think, well, I'm not hurting anybody else by doing this. But our sins and our collective sins, they do hurt. They hurt our world. I read in the paper this morning, on the way here, 20,000 people go missing in Chicago every year. 20,000. Now, most of those go missing of their own decision. The greater percentage want them to go missing. They want to run away. Right, and there's one girl missing even now for 3 months in Chicago, a 15-year-old girl. And right now she's under the status endangered runaway. Now, here's an encouraging stat for you. 98% of the people that go missing usually turn up fine, no problem. Again, they're missing because they want to be missing. Now, there are those few horrible cases, like even recently, the young professional woman who went missing around UIC, and they found her body a week later. Why do we live in a world like that? Because we aren't following our shepherd.
Come on.
But see, it's got to cut. Well, I'd never murder, but your sin hurts just as bad. People that go missing, they don't get hurt. They show up. What's the problem? They don't consider the pain it causes the families.
Yeah.
that are missing them. It's not like it's okay and fine and dandy. It causes great pain amongst families that don't have them anymore. And who knows the horrible things that led to them leaving in the first place? Who knows the abuses on that teenage girl?
Yep.
You know, this morning I got up to leave. And, you know, I leave earlier than everybody else in my house. And when I open the door, my daughter, if she hears me, she's got to say goodbye. She's 8 years old. So I turned the door handle and I heard, "Daddy," from her room, right? I said, "I love you, honey." He goes, "I love you more." And then I said, "You're awesome." And I went to leave and I heard something. I said, "What'd you say?" "You're awesomer." And I left feeling pretty awesomer. You know what I'm talking about? But you know the thought I had right then and there? Thank God I have a relationship with my daughter where she'll say that. And I think, again, all the children that grow up abused by their own parents. Well, that's not going to be said. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, come on.
So I was talking to my doorman this morning. I'll just digress a little bit more. We're talking about why is the world the way it is? He said, "Oh, the world's the way it is because people have emotions. And they go by their emotions." Dave, you're pretty right on. Right? A lot of times we know we shouldn't drink from that puddle, but we feel like it and we do anyway.
Mm.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
Then there's other times the world is wrong because of logic. Logic isn't always the right choice either. Is it logical to show mercy to people that have hurt you? No. Is it logical for God to forgive us all the sins we've committed? To send His Son to die on a cross for us? To give us white robes? We're not here to live by feelings, and we're not here to live by logic. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. If you're not careful, they'll lead you to those puddles. But if we were to live by the Word of God, how different would our world be? You know, there's a song by a group called Nickelback.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm not condoning all their music, because they have some songs that aren't that good.
Chris.
But this one's pretty awesome. And it's one of my wife's favorite right now. And it says this in the chorus. If everyone cared and nobody cried. If everyone loved and nobody lied. If everyone shared and swallowed their pride.
Amen.
We'd see the day when nobody died. Is that an awesome vision?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same vision we just read about in Revelation 7.
Yeah.
Well, how could nobody die? Because they'd live forever. People are going to die because of their sins.
Right.
Again, they're singing about a world, this rock group, they wish we lived in a world where nobody lied to each other.
Mm.
But we do. Yep. And the only way we'll stop is if we let our shepherd lead us to the quiet waters. If we decide we're going to obey God and we're not going to lie anymore. I don't want to be lied to and I'm not going to lie to anybody.
Come on.
Are you with me? But you got to make those decisions. You can't think, "Well, mine's just a little white lie." I don't even know where that came from. White lie. What's a white lie? As opposed to a purple lie? How about, "Well, mine was just a little white rape. There's a little white murder." How do you classify sin?
Yeah.
A lie's a lie. A rape's a rape. Murder's murder. Slander's slander.
Yep. Come on, bro.
And that's the reason our world is so bad. And this rock group's writing a song, at least a good one here. Man, what if it was different? There's only one way I want to tell you today. One way it's going to be different. If we will submit ourselves to the Word of God.
Come on. There it is, bro.
We were teaching a guy on campus this week. A study we call the Word of God. And we're trying to help teach him, you cannot live by your feelings.
Yeah.
Feelings are all over the place. We can't live by tradition. Just because it's the way mom and dad did it, doesn't mean everything was right on.
Mm-hmm.
We got to live by the Word of God. So what are the cisterns you're building? trying to appease, make yourself happy, but they're broken. And the water just keeps going out the bottom. And there's nothing there to drink. I think of myself. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. Remember when I was 18 years old? It was a long time ago. I'm 40 now. Oh boy. I was 18 years old and I moved away from the nest. From mama and daddy. And I moved all the way from a little town in East Texas to New York City. Get a rope. Upper West Side. And I'm on my own. I'm at a very liberal arts school. People have open minds. And I began to be confronted with a lot of puddles that I started drinking from. Now, I went to church every Sunday. Guys, church every Sunday don't mean nothing.
Yep.
It doesn't mean anything. To go to church and sit and feel good listening to what you've listened to all your life, because that's what you do, and then go away and not be any different for it.
Come on, bro.
It's like you went to a spiritual movie.
Come on.
Except they handed out juice and crackers instead of popcorn and goobers. You know?
Yeah, come on.
A lot of people go to church for a feel-good minute, punch in and feel like they're doing something right, but it doesn't affect us through the week. It doesn't cause us to see a puddle and walk on by.
Come on.
That's what has to click in. I'd go to church every Sunday. Let me tell you what. When I got off work at 11:30 in Times Square, I'd go straight to the peep show. And I had my quarters. That's what I did. And then, you know, I was ashamed of it. When I was finished watching and, you know, it'd been a hard day's work, I should look for a little pleasure. When I'd leave, I was embarrassed. So I'd blend right into the walking traffic and hope nobody thought I came out of that door. But God knows I came out of that door. And God knows what door you walked in last night too. God sees it. The problem is, I would go to church the next morning and think I was fine. I'm fine. I go to church. I'm good, right?
Come on, bro.
1 Corinthians 15.
Come on, Chris.
Verse 33. Says here, do not be misled. Let's just stop right there. God's trying to lead us to the quiet waters. He's trying to lead us to that great multitude in white robes. Is that where you want to be at the end of your life? Okay, take a second, take a breath, and ask yourselves, is that where I want to be? Because you're the one I want to talk to. Right? You want to be standing before the throne of God in the end, right?
Yep.
Are you guys okay today?
Yeah, with you, bro.
I'm feeling what Ken is feeling. I even felt this morning there's a heaviness. Maybe there's a lot of troubles going on. Maybe there's a lot of temptation going on. Maybe you're convicted. Listen, the Bible says if we are faithful and confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us.
That's right.
This is good news.
Yeah, amen.
But you got to make some decisions.
Come on.
Or else you're going to just keep falling into the same puddles.
Yep. Come on, bro.
Do not be misled. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Don't be misled. See, I got to ask you, if you believe God is leading in the right way, why do we go to those puddles?
Talk about it.
We're misled.
Yep.
Maybe it's our emotions. Maybe it's the sinful nature. Right? Maybe it's looking for love in all the wrong places. There's a very real reason in Revelation 12. Satan leads the whole world astray.
Wow. Yep.
So you're following somebody. A lot of times we just say, I don't want to be led. Let me tell you something. If you don't decide to be led spiritually, hear this point, guys. You're going to end up in those puddles. Because our nature wants to stop and drink. And we need to be led.
That's right.
Spiritually. Yep. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses. as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Wow. All right. Let's break this down. You with me here? The Corinthian church. Paul's talking to the Corinthian church. What's he saying? He's saying, brothers and sisters, you are hanging out with some bad company.
Yep.
Now, if that's what you're going to choose, that's your choice. But don't be misled. They're going to corrupt your character. That's what it says. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, how many of you are disciples of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand.
Amen.
You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. What is your whole life about? Trying to please God. Trying to be like Jesus. Trying to build character in your life. Aren't you working on that? Don't you want to be a man that doesn't lie to people?
Yep.
A woman that doesn't lie to people?
Yep.
Don't you want to be a man that doesn't manipulate people for your own good? Or a woman that doesn't manipulate your husband, manipulate people for your own good?
Come on, Chris.
Just thought you need a little sugar with the medicine right there. That's all. Right?
Yep.
You're working on your character. Don't go corrupted by hanging out with the wrong people.
Come on.
Don't be misled. I asked the teachers this morning, why do we go drink from those puddles? And Barb Haslam, she was so sweet, she said, because we want to be with our friends. And our friends are drinking there. Oh, hey, I'm a social creature, like a sheeper. Bad company corrupts good character.
Come on, bro.
So if you're really all about building your character, you've got to get around the right people.
Come on, bro.
And then he drops the bomb on the church. He says, come back to your senses. Stop sinning. And what do you think this means? Because there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Why was it the shame of the Corinthian church that there were some who were ignorant of God? Don't you dare tell me it's not the church's job to evangelize that city.
That's right, come on.
Don't you tell me it's not the church's job to evangelize that whole region. What Paul's saying is, if there's anybody in your city, in your school, in your workplace, in your family, who's ignorant of God, you should be ashamed.
Wow. Come on, Chris. Wow.
You know what ticks me off?
Come on, bro.
Religious people that go to church and they don't give a flip about people who are lost.
Wow. Come on, bro.
Hey, I'm not going to church. I'm good. But your church doesn't care about the people that are ignorant of God.
Come on, bro. Lay it out.
Paul said there's only one reason to stay on this earth and not go be with God. Fruitful labor. We're not here for the broken cistern of our job. We're not here for the broken cistern of some girl or some guy.
Come on, bro.
We're here to help people not be ignorant of God.
Come on, bro.
It's ignorance of God that leads people to drink from these pools that are breaking their hearts. When I didn't go to those Pete shows, I'd end up going to this one bar on the Upper West Side where all my buddies went. I'm a young guy. Hey, just looking for some friendship. Where are all my other sheep buddies at? Over drinking at that pool, that puddle, that little bar puddle on the Upper West Side. And I'd go, and I'd sit with them, because I crave friendship. Isn't that what we want to do, people? What are most people out there trying to do? Go to school, so you can get a job, so you can buy things, maybe get a wife and kids and cool car, live life. And if that's all there is, well then they want a little bit of pleasure at the end of the day. If that's all there is, you ever hear that old song? Was it by Peggy Lee? If that's all there is. She's singing it half drunk as she sings it. And she's talking about life and says, is that all there is, my friend? Then let's go dancing. Bring on the booze. Let's have a ball. If that's all there is. Wow. Go, 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 go. Isn't that it?
Yeah.
Guys, I go to campus a few times a week to be with the campus guys, study the Bible with people.
Amen.
I'm not even amazed by it anymore, but it's so shocking what happens on campus. Look to Mark chapter 8. In Mark 8, we'll read verse 38. We did a Bible talk on campus this week from this scripture. And I think I'll put it in my repertoire and use it again. Mark 8, verse 38. It says, Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Guys, if you believe in Jesus and you believe he's coming back, well, here's something he said he's going to do when he comes back. Right? I walk on campus, and there's an escalator that goes up to the second floor, and there's always people handing these things out. And I get this thing handed to me, XXX, uncensored, got a picture of a girl in a bikini all falling out. I don't know if you can see it from there, it's probably better if you can't. They hand these out every day at school.
Every day.
The one I got before said, come to the last naked foam party at the year of this club. Showed two girls, big upper body, if you know what I'm talking about, with foam just barely covering. Come on out. This is what your kids that are going to college are getting handed by other kids that are going to college. Thursday morning, I got handed it again, not by a guy, by a little girl this time. About this tall campus girl handed me this. I said, who hands this out? Is this a student organization? No, no, it's on the back. Sky High Entertainment. Well, I don't think it's sky high enough because I want to get a little higher in the sky.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Come on, bro.
And she said, why? Do you want to promote it? No, thank you. I said, I'm just amazed what the school's okay with handing out. But you know what the school says? Hey, don't come preaching the gospel and trying to change people on my campus.
Yeah. That's true.
That ticks me off.
Come on, bro.
I hope it ticks you off.
Yeah.
See, oh, it's okay. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to be a religious group on campus as long as you say everybody else is okay. According to campus rules, you can have a religious group, but you've got to say this group's okay too. Yeah. Every group's okay the way they are. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, then when I come back, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Think about it, guys. These people handing this out are very bold.
Yeah.
Are we bold?
Come on.
Ace made these up for me the other night.
Amen.
Says Jesus on the front. People handing up Jesus sign, right? And they invite to church on the back.
Come on.
You ashamed to hold these out?
No. Not at all.
Not on our strongest moment, but let's all get honest. I mean, I live to try to share people the gospel with people. But when it comes time to do it, sometimes I'm like, I'm afraid to do it. Why am I afraid? I'm worried about what they're going to think. There's no other answer. Try to come up with another answer. If you're not going to talk to someone, you're afraid of how they're going to look at you when you do. But these people aren't afraid.
That's right.
Now, some people are afraid because on Sunday, they're here. But on Saturday night, they're on here.
Yep, there you go.
Wow.
Guess what? That was me. I've already told you. Go to peep shows at night, go get drunk at a bar, start, you know.
Come on, bro. Lay down.
You know how I lost my virginity? drunk at 2 a.m, sitting at some diner after a long night, and some girl grabbed me under the table. And one thing led to another. And it was a pathetic experience in the end of things. What do you think is going to happen to little Junior and your family? Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, how can you be ashamed of me? Look at what you people do! And you're ashamed of me?
Come on, bro.
We need a wake-up call.
Come on, come on. Lay it out, bro. Help us out.
And I'm not done.
Come on, bro.
I'm leaving the campus from Bible Talk. And outside, a woman maybe in her mid-20s hands me this. Mr. Skin. I wanted to share my faith with her, so I stopped. Hey, what is this? I'm thinking it's dermatology, maybe. Mr. Skin. She said, what's this about? What are you promoting? You know what she said? This young woman. Celebrity nudity. Yeah, that's what she's promoting. It's a website. Come meet the ultimate cinema sexpert as he promotes his new book, Mr. Skin's Skintastic Video Guide. The 501 Greatest Movies for Sex and Nudity on DVD. And then afterwards, we're going out to Junior Sports Lounge. Let's go! I said to this young woman, why are you promoting this? She said, I work for Mr. Skin. Proud. I said, the reason I'm asking is I'm a minister. Oh, she didn't flinch. But you know what she said? She wanted to clarify for me. Oh, no. Our movies are only rated R. Guys, that's exactly what she said. In other words, she's saying, oh, it's not porn. And then she follows it up with, it's just celebrity nudity. I said, why do you do it? I love the human body. I love nudity. That's what she said. Come to your senses. Stop sinning. Because some are ignorant of God, I say this to your shame. I'm not here to play church with you today. We got our own problems, don't we?
Yep.
Maybe they're financial. Maybe they're trouble in the family. Maybe it's in the marriage. Maybe it's in your dating life, which is what a tough time to date these days. You better date a Christian.
That's right.
Listen, I had a girl this week. I was sitting with Christina and another young lady, and she was saying to me, I don't want to just be, guys want me for one thing. And I told her, I said, you've went through most of the Bible studies. Let me tell you something. If you don't get baptized and become a disciple, that's what you're doomed to the rest of your life. And I know because I was that guy. And she said it. She said, you know what I hate? When guys say, no, we can just go hang out. We don't have to do anything. Why would it even get to that in a conversation? They are trying to manipulate you.
That's right.
I know. I did it. Now, I'm going to break it down for you.
Come on.
When I was 23 years old, I studied the Scriptures, and a man did a study with me called discipleship. Now, we did it on campus with a couple guys this week. The study of discipleship is what it means to be a true Christian. It's not just going to church on Sunday. It's following Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Now, part of being a disciple, first thing Jesus said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I told the guy, from 0 to 23, I went to church all my life. I did not fish for men. Oh, but I did fish for women. What do I mean? One walked by, and I liked what I saw. I was looking and figuring out how to hook them. How can I get their number? How can I get them on a date? How can I get them back to their place? Or my place? I knew what it meant, the mechanics of fishing for somebody. I did. And I was successful. And at age 23, when they asked me, so are you living as a disciple of Jesus Christ? There wasn't one man that I'd ever sat down with the Scriptures and taught them how to be a true Christian.
Come on.
not one.
Wow.
But I can't count. I could try, but it'd be hard to count the women I slept with. From 18 when I left home to 23 when I became a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And I was a good kid in the eyes of most people. Church every Sunday. But from 23 to now, I've sinned, but I've never slept with any woman except my wife. And now I can't count the number of men I've sat with and tried to convince to be a disciple.
Amen. Come on, bro.
Wasn't anything of me. It's thank God someone sat with me and showed me what the heck I wasn't. I was ignorant of God. And they showed me what God really wanted. And it changed the course of my life. Now that is powerful.
That is.
Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, in this generation, I'm going to be ashamed of you when I come back in the glory and with my Father. Look at Luke 9.
Keep going, bro.
I had a whole other section I'm just going to cut and do next time because we're not going to get to it. Luke chapter 9. I say that so in case you think it's going long, you'll know that I'm really sacrificing and making it shorter than it could be. Luke 9:57. You guys want to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. If you want to get to the water,
come on,
the refreshing living waters, you got to let Him lead you there.
Yes.
Luke 9, verse 57.
Come on,
we're going to look at three guys who are trying to follow Jesus, and then we're going to close up. Take communion. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, imagine that. You're walking along the road with Jesus. Some guy runs up and just yells out to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. Now, listen to Jesus' words and ask yourself, would I have been ashamed of Jesus' words? Jesus replied, awesome! We need another good-hearted young man. Join up.
Nope.
No, he says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Now, you be honest. What if you're hanging with me? We're outside. And some guy comes up, hey, I heard about church, I want to join. And I turn around and say, foxes have holes. And birds, nests. Would you be able to be ashamed of those words?
Not at all, bro.
You'd be like, oh, Jesus, not with that again. Going to chase off another one with all that complicated stuff. This isn't trigonometry. Yeah. Trigonometry. See, I can't pronounce it, man. Just anyway.
Come on, bro.
I'm serious. What's he really saying? You got to kind of dissect it. What's a hole to a fox or a nest to a bird? It's their home. He's saying to this guy who's all eager to follow, this isn't easy, dude. Maybe you're having a blast this afternoon as we fed 5,000 and you're impressed. But tonight I don't have a home. We just might be sleeping on the rocks when it's raining. Are you ready for that? The lesson here is, it's never convenient to follow.
Right.
It's not easy. Jesus didn't want somebody making an emotional decision to follow Him. Because again, 3 weeks later, we'd make an emotional decision to go drink from that little puddle and find, forsake Him and build our own cistern. Now there's another man. And in my image of this scene, I'd like to believe the second guy heard everything he said to the first guy. So imagine you're sitting there and you're hearing all this and you're like, man, this is challenging to follow this guy. He said to another man, follow me. And you're like, whoa, you've just heard everything he said. This is not easy, but now he wants you to follow him. Why? He's going to lead you to living water. What's this guy's answer? The man said, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. You go proclaim the kingdom of God. Be ashamed of those words? You know when you're standing with someone and they're hard line with somebody else? They're not weak sauce, they're hot sauce, you know.
Come on, bro.
They lay it out.
Come on,
let me just tell you the truth. And you're like, oh, that's too much. It was too hard. Would you have been ashamed of Jesus' words here? Too hard? Now, it helps to clarify. What does this mean, let me go bury my father? Because immediately all our sentimental emotions start popping up. Jesus was so mean. The guy, his father was dying and he was just mean. Back in that day, bury my father didn't mean his father was even near death. It was a phrase that meant, you know, my father raised me and now I'm older and my father's old. And they had no social security, if you know what I'm talking about. So, let me stay with my father, care for him, comfort him. When he's dead and gone, I'll be free. I'll come follow you. Jesus still laid it out. Let the dead bury their own dead.
Lay it out.
You have a chance here for spiritual life. Go proclaim the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Third person. Jesus said to him, I'm sorry, still another said, I'll follow you, Lord. But first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Okay. Surely Jesus can say, oh, that's sweet. Tell them I love them and thanks for the pie and we'll write you. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. I mean, get a picture. You're standing there and the dude says, let me say goodbye to my family. And he says, nobody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service. All right. Are you ashamed of those words? Anyone's ashamed of me and my words in this sinful generation, I'll be ashamed of you. Jesus is not the circle of halo around his head, I love everybody guy that many are thinking he is. Jesus was hard line. He said, you've got to repent and follow me. Deny yourself. Stop drinking from those puddles. And I'll make you fishers of men.
Come on, bro.
Not only will I take you to fresh water, but you'll take some others with you too.
Come on, bro.
Here. What's the point? Well, I grew up in East Texas on a farm and my grandpa had some corn, so I know what a plow means. You stick that plow in the ground and you better pick a point in front of you and walk straight toward it. Because anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is going to have some freaky looking rows of corn. You're not fit for service in the kingdom of God. You can't look back. Stop looking at those puddles. Follow Jesus. This is challenging though. This is what it means to be a disciple. If you don't do this, you're not a disciple. You can call yourself one, but then on the last day, you're going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you. Get away from me. Did you ever wonder, you're trying to follow Jesus and you're laying in bed at night miserable and you wonder why? It's not about playing church.
Come on.
That's not what it's about. There's that group Nickelback that I told you about. And that song, there's a video to the song. And I'm going to close and prepare us for communion with this video. It's a video that could have been made by the church if we just put a few more reference to Christ in it.
Come on.
It's all about people that made a difference in life. Remember the words, if everyone cared and nobody cried, if everyone loved and nobody lied, if everyone shared, but we don't, do we? And swallowed their pride, but we don't, do we? See, pride is one of the biggest reasons people won't make it to heaven. But we'd see the day when nobody died. Here's some of the people they hold up. In 1984, Bob Geldof. Anybody know who Bob Geldof is? Okay, one does. Okay. A music journalist turned punk rock frontman. He was inspired by a news report about Africa's famine epidemic. And he began, listen to this, guys, his worldwide fight against hunger. Now, here's what Satan says. Oh, what can one person do? Satan might be telling you that right now. What can you really do? What can we really do to change the world? It is so messed up. You better stop listening to that lie.
Come on.
And listen to what Jesus says. But this guy, Geldof, he organized the world's first global charity concert. It was called Live Aid. Performances by 100 artists around the world were viewed by 1.5 billion people. Live Aid raised 150 million pounds in one day for world hunger. What can one man do? He led them, or they wouldn't have raised it. Ladies, in 1976, Betty Williams, a receptionist and mother of two, witnessed three children killed during a political turmoil in Northern Ireland. Within 2 days of this tragic event, Williams obtained 6,000 signatures petitioning for peace. 2 days. 6,000 signatures. What can you do?
Come on.
Williams also organized a peace march, and 10,000 people came to march to the children's graves. The march was disrupted by protesters, so she quit. No, it wouldn't be a good end of the story, would it?
No.
She wouldn't be in the video, would she?
No.
1 week later, Williams organized another march. This time, the march was 35,000 strong. Betty Williams was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize that year. What can one person do? She led them. 1961, two students in Portugal raised their glasses in a toast for freedom. They were in prison for 7 years. How about that? British lawyer Peter Benenson was shocked by the events. To rally support for the students, he wrote a letter to his local paper. The response was so overwhelming, a committee was formed to organize a campaign. This quickly grew into a worldwide movement. And we like those, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
It's known today as Amnesty International. One man wrote that article. Think of what that's done.
Yep.
And finally, it's one of my favorites. In the 1920s, a boy from a small South African village dreamt of a day when equality would prevail over his country. After years of activism, he was charged with political treason and sentenced to life in prison. His dream of equality never died. In 1990, after 27 years in prison, Nelson Mandela was finally released. Mandela then led South Africa to its first ever democratic presidential election. Nearly 19 million people voted. Mandela was elected, and this ended the racist apartheid regime that divided South Africa for 46 years. Because nobody else did anything sooner. He led them. You know, the whole video closes with a quote. And Teresa said, Chris, you've got to see this. It's a quote you've preached many times. It's by a woman named Margaret Mead. It says, "Never doubt that a small group of committed people can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has."
That's right.
As we take communion, I want you to hold on to that vision of the multitude in white. People from every race, every nation. And I want you to think of your friends, your family, your children, yourself, and the people you don't even know yet who are ignorant of God. We want to see them in that multitude. Jesus wanted to see them in that multitude. And that's why He died on the cross, to forgive our sins. Brothers and sisters, let's decide we are not going to be ashamed of that. We got to muster up our courage and encourage one another. And let's take a deeper look, guys, at the world around us. And let ourselves be filled with shame about that. And about the fact that we have not proclaimed His name loud enough, long enough, or strong enough, or clear enough. Amen, church.
Amen.